Our scripture reading this morning comes from the letter to the Philippians, chapter 1, verses 1 through 18a. Oops, sorry, gotta find it. The letters are so short. Okay, chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. From Paul and Timothy, slaves of Christ Jesus, to all those in Philippi who are God's people in Christ Jesus, along with your supervisors and servants, may the grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. I thank my God every time I mention you in my prayers. I am thankful for all of you every time I pray, and it's always a prayer of joy. I'm glad because of the way you have been my partners in the ministry of the gospel from the time you first believed it until now. I'm sure about this. The one who started a good work in you will stay with you and complete the job by the day of Christ Jesus. I have good reason to think this way about all of you because I keep you in my heart. You are all my partners in God's grace, both during my time in prison and in defense and support of the gospel. God is my witness, and I feel affection for all of you with the compassion of Christ Jesus. This is my prayer, that your love might come even more and more rich with knowledge and all kinds of insight. I pray this so that you will be able to decide what really matters and so you will be sincere and blameless on the day of Christ. I pray that you will then be filled with the fruit of righteousness which comes from Jesus Christ in order to give glory and praise to God. Brothers and sisters, I want you to know that the things that have happened to me have actually advanced the gospel. The whole Parisian guard and everyone else knows that I'm in prison for Christ. Most of the brothers and sisters have had more confidence through the Lord to speak the word boldly and bravely because of my jail time. Some certainly preach Christ with jealous and competitive motives, but others preach with good motives. They are motivated by love, because they know that I'm put here to give a defense of the gospel. The others preach Christ because of their selfish and ambition. They are insincere, hoping to cause me more pain while I'm in prison. What I do think about this, just this, since Christ is proclaimed in every possible way, whether from dishonest or true motives, I'm glad that I'll continue to be glad. Holy words for holy people.
Well, good morning. Paul is writing a letter from prison, and frankly, it's kind of an upbeat letter. I don't know where he gets off writing an upbeat letter from a prison cell. If I was writing you a letter from prison, it would probably be like, this stinks. The food here is terrible. That'd be my first thought. It'd be all about the food, because look at me. But he's got this upbeat letter from prison. And I don't know, I wish I was as good a person as Paul is. I can be a jerk. I think we all can be jerks. And here's Paul writing a letter to everybody in the church, right? This is to everybody. This isn't just to the pastor. It's not a letter to the DS. It's not a letter to the bishop. It's a letter to the whole church. So he's writing this letter to this whole entire church in the city of Philippi. And he says, every time I think about any of you, makes me happy, and I pray good things for you. Every time I think of you, I thank God for you. I have served a few churches in my day, and I can think back from churches that I have served in the past. I don't thank God for every single person in every one of those churches. I have to confess it. It's true. There are some people, when they cross my mind, I'm like, man, that guy was a pain in the neck. Man, I wish he could have kept one opinion to himself once. Oh, yeah. Thank God for him. Paul is seriously chipper and upbeat from inside prison because he sees the good news of Jesus Christ being spread around by people who aren't him. And he says, you know, there are great people out there proclaiming Christ out of love, and that's wonderful. And there are people out there proclaiming Christ because of selfish motives. They want money or they want political power. Oh, gee, you know, I can't imagine anything like that happening now. And he says, but you know what? It's all good. Either way, Jesus is being proclaimed. There's something in there. There's something in this section of the letter that I think is really important for all of us to know and for all of us to consider. This is the statement. You are all my partners in God's grace. We are partners in grace. This living in grace thing is a partnership. There ain't no lone rangers in this faith business. We don't get to do this all by ourselves. We kind of can't do this all by ourselves. We have to be in partnership with one another. I can't do this without you. And you can't do this without me. And you can't do this without each other. We're in this business together. This is a holy partnership in grace. Paul addressed this letter to the church, and he made no distinction between the leaders and the congregation or the pastor or the overseer or the people who just kind of show up. No distinction. We're all partners in this. Faith is a community effort. Faith is a community thing. We need each other. We rely on each other. We have a partnership with God. We have a partnership with Paul. We have a partnership with Christ. We have a partnership with our pastor, with our district superintendent, and the United Methodist structure, and
people within the United Methodist Church that we don't agree with, and people we may have conflict with, and people we have trouble thanking God for. But we are in partnership in grace. I talk a lot about grace. I do. I talk a lot about grace because I'm not real good at it. I don't think any of us are real good at it. Grace doesn't make sense to us. Grace ends up, if you really follow it through, ends up being good news for bad people. Grace ends up being good news for people we disagree with. Grace ends up being good news for people we don't like. Grace ends up being good news for people who have done stuff we don't like or who hold opinions that we don't like. Grace ends up forgiving the guilty. And in my heart of hearts, I don't want to forgive the guilty. I want to punish the guilty until I'm the guilty. Or as my dad likes to say, grace for me, justice for you. But when I recognize, when I realize that I am among the guilty, I realize just how sweet grace is. And that grace is what makes the church go round. Grace is what makes the world go round. We can argue all day about the law. The law just holds things together. The law just creates some semblance of order amidst the chaos, but grace makes the world go around. Or put it this way, law and order may hold things together, but without grace, there are no things to hold together. Grace encompasses everything. And we are in partnership in grace. We are in partnership in this whole faith business. We are in partnership in this whole church business. And we may not be great at it all the time. We may fail and fall and forget to give thanks to God for one another. And we see our denomination wrestling with this stuff, with the debates about sexuality. Our bishops have put forth a plan that I actually kind of agree with. It's more of a centrist plan, but I think it is a step in the right direction for the whole church. It allows annual conferences to decide for themselves how they're going to handle issues like same-sex marriage and the ordination of LGBTQI folks. It allows for more progressive regions to take a more progressive stance and for more conservative regions to hold on to their more conservative stance until they grow into something different. It removes the language from the Book of Discipline that says that homosexual practice is incompatible with Christian teaching. That will be, if this is the plan that goes through, that will be gone. And yet, any clergy who chooses not to participate in same-sex marriage is free to do so. And churches that wish to leave our denomination because of a more progressive stance within the denomination are free to go. I think what I like about this plan is that it doesn't make the extremes on either side really happy. I don't know, I've dealt enough with the law and the courts and things. Like, if one side leaves the courtroom happy, justice wasn't served. You really want both sides leaving unhappy. That means you're probably closer to something fair. But in the midst of all of the conflict and all of the trouble within our denomination, you know, those folks that I disagree with and the folks who you disagree with, they are our partners in grace. And if we began to see one another as partners in grace, we might actually have a conversation instead of shouting slogans at one another.
I think that would be progress. But our partnership in grace, and this has been on my mind, isn't just about the grace that we receive. It's, well, we can't avoid the E word. We can't avoid evangelism. We can't avoid receiving the good news without telling the good news. We have to share that with somebody. And I wish I could take credit for this illustration, but it's brilliant. We tend to treat church like church is a pitcher of water, and we're a glass, and we come to church, and we get our glass filled up so that we can go out and dump the good news on other people. We came to church, we got some Jesus, and now we can go pour some Jesus on somebody. That's not how that works. That's kind of how we approach evangelism, but it's wrong. It's evangelism means that instead of coming to church to get a little bit of Jesus that we can go out and dump on somebody else, that we move into the stream of living water until our glass overflows and we can't help but spill goodness on everything around us. Stand in the stream until the goodness overflows. Stand in the stream until the love overflows. And in this passage, Paul uses that language, may your love overflow. It's not about getting some Jesus and dumping Jesus on other people. It's about letting the Jesus overflow in your life to the point that they can't help but get wet just from being near you. Being near you, they're going to see a little Jesus. Being near you, they're going to feel a little Jesus. Being near you, they're going to experience a little bit of Jesus. You might be the only Jesus they ever experience in their lives. But you might be enough. Stand in the stream. That's nice. That's better. Let Christ's grace fill you up and overflow you until you're just spilling out with the good news. And then maybe we might be prepared to send an upbeat letter from our own prisons. To send an upbeat letter from whatever
makes us feel locked up and locked down. Maybe, just maybe, we'd have so much goodness in us and around us and spilling out of us that we could thank God for one another really and truly from our hearts. And that we could be better at grace than we are at judgment. That we could be better at forgiveness than we are at blame. That we could be better at resolution than we are at conflict. And that our lives are worthy reflections of the good news of Jesus Christ. What can we take from this letter from prison? Plenty. Let your love overflow. Stand in the stream of grace. God is good all the time.